Welcome to In Christ, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel in Lubbock, Texas, with pastor and teacher Ben Martinez.
Sin fractures everything. It fractures the world. It fractures us. And so here's who we need to understand. Romans 3:23 tells us, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That's all of us. There is no holier than thou. We've all missed the mark. Romans 3:11 says this, "There is none who understands, there is none who seeks after God." You and I didn't get up one morning going, "You know, I need to find God in my life." God found us.
Thanks for tuning in to In Christ Radio. We continue verse by verse in the Gospel of Mark. Now, last time we saw Jesus standing silent under injustice, and we're reminded that it's okay to not be okay. Today, we continue in Mark chapter 15, verses 16 through 23 with the message titled, "Mocked Worship." In this passage, the soldiers take Jesus inside the palace and turn his suffering into entertainment. They dress him in a purple robe, twist together a crown of thorns, kneel before him in mockery, and strike him again and again. Every action is meant to humiliate him, to turn truth into a joke and reverence into ridicule. Yet, even in their mockery, something deeper is happening. Jesus truly is a king. The crown is real. Though it's made from thorns, the worship is false, but the title is true. And Jesus endures it all without retaliation, choosing love over power and obedience over escape. It's possible to be close to Jesus and still mock him, not always with words, but with hearts that refuse to honor him. True worship isn't about posture or language. It's about reverence, surrender, and recognizing who he really is. Let me ask you, are there ways we honor Jesus with our words, but mock him with our lives? What would it look like today to offer him real worship? Not imitation, not performance, but surrender. Let's find out as we join Pastor Ben in Mark chapter 15, verses 16 through 23 in today's title, Mock Worship.
In Christ, I have his righteousness. In Christ, I have what I confess. In Christ, I don't worry about all the rest, 'cause everything I need to be in Christ.
And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which is translated the place of the skull. Do you realize that Calvary means the place of the skull? So when people ask you, where do you go to church? You could say, the place of the skull, and see how they react, right? They'll be like, wait, what? And they gave him, notice, wine and myrrh to drink, but he did not take it. Well, let's go back. Let's break this down real quick, guys. Jesus was led away from the crucifixion. He was, like every victim of the crucifixion, forced to carry the beams of wood up that he would hang upon. Okay, get this. The weight of the entire cross was typically about 300 pounds, but typically the victim would only carry the crossbar. So keep that in mind, which was anywhere from 75 to 125 pounds. Now, for you and I, a strong, healthy young male, 33 years old, can handle about 75 pounds. I mean, it's heavy, but it's still, but he was beaten. He was beaten almost to the point of death. When the victim carried the crossbar, most cases, I'm not saying Jesus, some people believe this, but usually he was stripped naked with his hands often tied to the wood. That's humiliation, is it not? The upright beam would often permanently fixed in a visible place outside the city walls beside a major road. Why? Because the people coming in for the Passover would look and go, okay, don't mess with Rome. What was his crime? Murder. Ooh, well, you deserve that. I mean, we see that, but you would not mess with Rome. You would not mess with Rome. Think about this for just a second. Let's tie it in. Do you remember when we all had to wear masks? And if you didn't, we feared the consequences of what people would say. And you couldn't go to the grocery store because they might have let you in, but there were some zealot people that were like, "You better put on your mask." And this was the whole point. They caused fear in people, and this is what Rome did. Rome would make people go, they would think twice before doing anything. Oh, okay. This is what happens when you rebel against Rome. Can you imagine a time where they asked you to hail, you know, to give incense to Caesar, just to say Caesar's Lord, but yet you can't? Oh man, I'm gonna end up being crucified. All you need to do is pinch incense and say Caesar's Lord. I can't. Caesar's not Lord, Jesus is Lord. I can't do it. Here's an exhortation to you and I. I want to be the type of believer that no matter what the government or anyone else throws at us, that we say, you know what, Jesus is Lord. Well, you're gonna die. Listen to me. I don't have a problem dying for Jesus. What I have a problem with is, like, for some of you, it might be your kids. Well, we're going to kill your kids unless you renounce Christ. Okay, like, listen, you can kill me all you want, 3-4 times a day. I don't care. Don't mess with my kids. That's how we are, right, Mama Bears? But we need to have, and we need to teach them, guys, the love of Christ and that heaven is a far better place, even in this awful, ugly world. Heaven is a better place. Now, I pray that we never get to that. The government never does that. But I know that after we're gone, there's going to be that happening probably during the tribulation. So they brought him. Mark 15:20 says they led him out to crucify him. By Mark 22, the situation has changed. They brought him to the place of Golgotha. Jesus could walk when his trial first started. You remember that? But before he reached Golgotha, he could hardly walk. And so they had to bring him. Notice, I want you to see that. Go back to the text, guys. Verse 22, underline that. And they brought him to the place of Golgotha. You go, why is that important? Because the word brought, it's important. At first, he could have walked, he could have went, but now he's so beaten and so beat up and so humiliated and all that they had to bring him. He walked into, and they had to bring him to the place of the crucifixion. It would appear that our Jesus is so weak through the strain of just even the last few days. I mean, think about this, guys. It wasn't only the physical beating, the physical scourging, all of this happening. It was the weight of our sin upon him. In the garden, just a few days, just a day earlier, he was sweating great drops of blood, and he asked the Father, "Is there any way that my friend Jesse could be saved?" Nope. He says, "Nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but yours be done." Guys, there is no other way except through Jesus that we can be saved. There's no other way. And so there he is. He's exhausted, the strain, the scourging, unable to walk, not to speak of carrying the cross. He brought him to the place called Golgotha. There was a specific place outside the city walls of Jerusalem, very important, yet still very close to where the people were crucified, where Jesus died for our sins, where our salvation was accomplished. It was the place they called the skull. It was a place where criminals were crucified. Now, listen to me, church. I wish every one of you could go with us to Israel. In Israel, there are two places that they believe were the place where Jesus was crucified. The first place is called, it's called the Church of the Blessed Sepulchre. And it's a big church. They build a big church over. And as you walk in, there's a rock. And they believe that's Mount Moriah. That's where Jesus was crucified. And so people will touch that. And if you go through, that's where a lot of people say that Jesus was crucified. If you go outside the Damascus Gate, which is just a little bit farther, and you go down, you can see this skull, this mountain that looks like a skull. And they said, this is where Jesus was crucified. There's a garden and an empty tomb, right, just a couple of hundred yards this way. I've listened to both debates on all of that. The city walls were closer back in that day, so this is the place Jesus was crucified. I see the wall. I mean, the it looks like a skull. I mean, this is Golgotha, and they would have crucified him right in front. There, in front of that skull, guys, is a major highway where people would come in, and they would see right there. This is where everybody walked. I find it interesting that right now, today, in front of this place called the Skull, Golgotha, actually it's called Gordon's Calvary, there's a bus station. There's a bus station, and people are in and out all day long. And it's just right here. And so when we go to Israel, you go up there and we go to Gordon's Calvary, and you have to make up your own mind. The point is, either way, Jesus was crucified. In our text today, guys, the Roman soldiers who scourged Jesus, they openly mocked him. They openly mocked him in worship behavior, really didn't understand. But the question to us is, what did they not understand? So what I want to do in the remainder of our time is give you three things they were in the dark about, spiritually speaking. Three things. Number one, jot this down, who they were. They didn't understand who they were. They knew they were Roman soldiers, but let's go deeper. Number two, who Jesus was. And number three, what his purpose was. Who they were, who Jesus was, and what his purpose was. Now, let me say this. Today, those soldiers, wherever they are, they have an understanding of who Jesus is now. Don't you agree? And they have an understanding of all the questions. So here's what I want you to see. Ignorance is bliss, but it's not excusable. Okay? So here we go. You ready? We have to do some work. Who we are. Genesis chapter 3 is where it all began. Genesis chapter 3. The first two chapters of Genesis are amazing, right? And then what happened is sin entered the world. You guys know the story. I don't have to elaborate. But there was Eve talking to a snake. She had no business talking to a snake, but there was Eve. And I'll tell you the little difference that I see. Her husband is supposed to be her protective covering. I don't know where he was. And the snake entices her to eat the fruit. And here comes that. Maybe he was chasing butterflies. I don't know what Adam was doing. But here he comes, and she's like, here, eat this. And you guys know the story. Sin fractures everything. It fractures the world. It fractures us. It just, creation began to groan. And so here's who we need to understand. Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's all of us. There is no holier than thou. We've all missed the mark. Romans 3:11 says this, there is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. You and I didn't get up one morning going, you know, I need to find God in my life. God found us. And he saved us, and he brought us into a place. That's who we are. Can we agree on that? That's who we are. So who's Jesus? Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 8 says this. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, so we know he's God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So who is Jesus? Man, he's fully God, fully man. He came and he walked humbly. I think that's a great application for us, don't you? God's called us to walk humbly. He's called you and I at Calvary Chapel Lubbock to love and serve people all around the world, all around our city, love and serve people. How are we going to win them if they don't know we love them? Hebrews chapter 2, jot this down. Hebrews 2, 14 through 18 says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death. Who is that? The devil. And release those who, through fear of death, were all in their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things, he had been made like his brethren. He might be merciful and a faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself suffered, being tempted, he was able to aid those who are tempted. You know what? Jesus came as a man so that he could understand and walk with you and comfort you in those times. The Bible says that when we're tempted, Jesus knows exactly what we're tempted. But let me say this to you. In your times of hardship, in your times of storms, Jesus knows what you're going through. He knows exactly what you're going through. He was tempted in all the ways you are. He felt loneliness. You got to know that. He felt betrayal of one of his best friends, Judas. Can you imagine when the soldiers came at the Garden of Gethsemane and all the disciples split? my Jesus probably never felt so lonely in that point. He's like, okay. But he's so forgiving and so loving. So you go, so we know that we're sinners. You go, amen. We know who Jesus is. Who is Jesus? Fully God and fully man. That's who Jesus was. What's his purpose? Third point, Hebrews chapter 2, 9 and 10. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of the death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom all things and by whom all things, and bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. You know what Jesus did? Jesus took away the sting of death for you and I. We don't have to worry about it anymore. Guys, we're not going to die per se. Oh, this body's going to stop. But I have a great feeling that when that moment happens, the Lord comes and says, hey, you ready to go? And you're like, yeah, been waiting. Let's go. And your body might stay there and breathe a few more breaths and everybody around you crying and praying. But he already tasted it for us. We're not going to be separated anymore from him. Oh, there was a reel going around of a little boy who was coming out of anesthesia, and he was saying, Jesus, he's so beautiful. He's so, and he was just, and he saw his dad who had died a year earlier, and it was just, is it real? I don't know, but I believe Jesus is beautiful. And maybe for us, because he's tasted death, it's like, he's so beautiful. Listen, let's be honest. It breaks our heart that you're leaving us on this earth, but there's no way I want to pray you back. That would be cruel. I will miss you, and I get that. I get that. You know, I see Norm over there. He's so beautiful. We'll come and see you. You don't have to come back. We'll come and see you. If you understand this, guys, this will result in true worship. Understanding who we are. Lord, I can't make it without you. Understanding that Jesus was fully God. I don't want to mock worship. I want to worship him because, listen, he suffered for me. He tasted death for me. He loves me. He's got a plan for me. If for any reason the Lord takes any of you that I love desperately and deeply, it's a celebration of life. It's not going to be a sad thing because he's tasted death for you, and he brought you to glory, and we rejoice in that. All right, as we close, let us be reminded that missing the life and the purpose of Jesus, it leads us to mocked worship. And you go, well, Pastor Ben, I'm not mocking Jesus like this. I'm not, and I believe you. I don't believe that we as the Christians are mocking Jesus. I don't think we're just, you know, saluting him and rep. No. So for the church, what does that look like? What does that look like? Well, it's not a mocking. Let's put that aside. It's not mocking, but I'll tell you what we do, and we have to just check our hearts. If we can do this for just a second, guys. You go, what does it look like? Well, sometimes I believe I'm gonna pick on me, and then you guys could listen if you want to, okay? But sometimes I believe with my actions, I can disrespect God or dishonor God. It's not necessarily a mocking, but it's a disrespect or dishonor. You go, how? How can we do this? Well, here are some ways that believers might be seen as failing to honor Jesus, okay? Mocking, we're not mocking, but let's get some application. You ready? And we got to check our hearts. Amen? Okay. Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. Living a life that's contradicting to the teachings of Jesus. Claiming to be a follower while engaging in actions that go against Christian values is often described as hypocrisy. I don't want to dishonor God with a life that's different. I don't want to live a different life at home than I live here. And I never want my kids to go, oh yeah, he's different at the pulpit. He's holy in the pulpit. He's there at church, but he gets at home and it, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to dishonor God. And the way a Christian can dishonor, disrespect God is disbelief or doubt. While questioning is part of our faith, persistent doubting or denying the existence of God or the power of God, including the divinity of Jesus, can be seen as a form of disrespect. I believe in him. You guys know that. You believe in him. Your faith and trust is in him. You know that if you took your last breath today, you're going to be with him. You go, amen. But there are times when we just don't understand what he's doing, and so we just struggle with that. We just struggle. Another way, real quick, is irreverence towards the Bible, irreverence towards God's word. You go, what do you mean? Treating the Bible lightly, using God's name disrespectfully, or making light of religious concepts that can be seen as dishonoring God or Jesus. We hold his word in high esteem. I don't want to have irreverence toward that. You and I believe from Genesis to Revelation, this is the word of God. This is God breathed. One of the biggest things that I struggled with is misrepresenting God. I don't want to dishonor God by misrepresenting him. I know we're not perfect. Can I get an amen? I know we all struggle. That's just part of it's progressive sanctification, and we won't get there until we go home. But I don't want to misrepresent him. I don't want to misrepresent him. I want Jesus to be my all in all, my all in all, every bit of me. I hope you do too. I hope that you leave here today saying, I want Jesus to be my all and all and all and all, and that you'll make a decision today, if you haven't already, to say, he is my all in all. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today. Lord, every one of those soldiers that mocked you, Lord, is in eternity. Your Holy Spirit, and you're so beautiful that I know some of those soldiers are saved. I know it cost them everything to follow you. I also know that some of the soldiers, Lord, that mocked you and beat you and spit on you are not saved. So I thank you, Lord, today that you've given us understanding of who we are and who you are and your purpose for coming to earth. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for Mark chapter 15. I thank you, Lord, that you tasted death for us, Lord. You're going to be right by our side and you're going to walk with us forever. Lord, I love this church and I want to make sure that everyone here knows you. They know you in a real and intimate and wonderful way, and that eternity is secure. And if there's anyone here that, like Pilate, is playing games, Lord, that today they would surrender. They would say, no, I'm done, Ben. I'm done. I want Jesus. And so with every eye closed and every head bowed, is there anyone here this morning that would say, Pastor Ben, would you pray for me? I'm not sure if I'm right with God, but I want to be today. Would you just lift up your hand like my brother did right here? Is there anyone else? Father, I thank you for these hands that were raised and that, Lord, you're just speaking to them. I thank you that your Holy Spirit is moving and that, Lord, that you're still saving people. And I pray for every hand that was raised, and I would pray that they would do just an incredible work right now. And so, God, I thank you, Lord. Would you do me the honor and pray this prayer after me out loud? Mean it from all of your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. I know I'm a sinner. I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you were buried and you rose again. I believe you're coming back soon. I want to give my life to you today, God. So I'm asking you to forgive me. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my God. Be my Savior. Be my friend. I choose this day to follow you, Jesus, for forever I'm yours. In Jesus' name, amen. In Christ.
That was Pastor Ben Martinez in the Servant King series, a verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Mark. As Pastor Ben reiterates time after time, the message of Mark's Gospel is captured in a single verse. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Chapters 10, verse 45. Chapter by chapter, the book unfolds the dual focus of Christ's life, service and sacrifice. Mark portrays Jesus as a servant on the move, instantly responsive to the will of the Father. By preaching, teaching, and healing, he ministers to the needs of others, even to the point of death. After the resurrection, he commissions his followers to continue his work in his power, servants following in the steps of the perfect servant. As we walk through this gospel together, may we be challenged to follow Jesus with boldness, serve with humility, and proclaim the good news with passion. So join us next time as we continue in the Gospel of Mark.
Hey guys, Pastor Ben here. Our vision at Calvary Chapel Lubbock is we want to be a place that continually feeds and shepherds the people of God. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to In Christ Radio, and I'm praying that you were blessed and well-fed by our radio ministry, and by God's grace, this becomes one of those things that continues to build up your faith, encourages your walk with God, as well as fuel your love for Jesus. Would you consider partnering with us financially? It's actually really simple. You could either do it online at inchristradio.com. Simply hit the donate button. If sending a check is more comfortable for you, you can drop one in the mail at In Christ Radio, 4218 Boston Avenue, Lubbock, Texas, 79413. I'm praying that you would fall more deeply in love with Jesus. God bless.
If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life.
In Christ, I have His righteousness. In Christ, I have what I